Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes, and we got the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert back in the studio, so we know football season's right around the corner. So it's time for our Bobby's Notebook. The Cajun Cannon gives us today's insights, day one of training camp, and is brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Bobby, let's break down today's highlights. I know a lot of it, Bob, was 7-on-7, 11-on-11, and I think the star of the day was the weather. It was overcast.
Mike, the weather was awesome. I'm thinking, like, if the heat index is 115, well, they don't want any fans falling out if they invite it to practice, and then you have emergencies there, and obviously, how can you get a lot done when the heat index is 115? Because then you know just trying to survive practice instead of getting something done. But I thought they'd be inside, but no, it was perfect. You know when I know it's not too hot, even though that's why you never
you're
know.
You're not sweating?
No, when you're in the shade and you're not moving and your shirt's not drenched. You know, you're not sweating. So I just, it's not too hot. If it'd be like this, we hit the lottery. I don't think it'll be like this throughout training camp. But Mike, you know, you always look at the first day of training camp, and everyone's obviously focused on the quarterback. And even if you have an established quarterback, or let's say you have competition, you always have like a handful of teams, and you look around the National Football League, who's going to be the starting quarterback where they'll have competition? Well, that was never the case, obviously, with Drew Brees. Well, Spencer Rattler broke the huddle, took the first rep, and they started out with team. It wasn't a 7-on-7, you know, pass skeleton. It was a team period. And I don't know, Coach Moore, Kellen Moore came out the great gate. It was up-tempo. They went no huddle. So the first rep, Spencer Rattler was in there. They went no huddle. Probably the highlight of that first period, it was kind of like a throwback screen to the Edwards-Hilaire. Mike, that went for 12, 15 yards. I said, oh, the defense got fooled on that one. And so you see a productive play. Now, before I get to Shuck, and, you know, it's just one day. And, you know, I remember I told you this, Mike, Coach Moore would always say, I don't care if you played well, you got to do it again. Let's say you made an unbelievable pass, you scored a touchdown. So what? You got to do it again. Let's say you threw a terrible pick six. So what? You got to forget it. You got to move on. Like one snap and clear. I remember I used to dream, I still dream about that, one snap and clear. You know, whether things are going well in the house or not, whatever you're involved in, you got to move on. Every day is a new day, so one snap and clear. But, Mike, out of all the OTAs in minicamp, this might have been Tyler Shuck's poorest practice. And you never, you know, first impressions. Obviously, he already had first impressions with rookie minicamp, the OTAs, and the mandatory minicamp. But now you're getting into training camp. And it'll be interesting next week what's going to happen when basically they go in 4 days in pads. To me, it's really going to start like on Monday. And where you say they're really competing. So it'll be interesting to see, even though, because you're constantly being evaluated. They film everything and every drill that you do. Well, I'd say definitely Spencer Rattler looked like the starting quarterback today. But how's Tyler Shuck? How you handle adversity? How are you going to bounce back tomorrow? And he's a mature individual. I think he'll be able to handle it. He definitely looks the part. You know, we always said that. You look at his size and everything. But, for instance, Shuck's first rep, they went to the line of scrimmage, they had to get back in the huddle. Now, I don't know what happened. I'm not in the field. I don't know if he didn't call the play right, or they in alignment. You know, you hear all that wasn't right. So they had to go back in the huddle. And then he had a simple little, like, easy dump off to the back, and he was inaccurate with that. And I don't know if he obviously worried about throwing the interception, which you don't want to do, and he ended up throwing it in the ground. But I would say Haener made more throws than Shuck today when you just look at it. But then, so he got off to a slow start. Then Spencer Rattler, this is what you can expect to see a number of times. And now this is 7-on-7. They went from team to 7-on-7, you know, no lineman, no pass rush. And hopefully we see this many a times and they could stay healthy. I think they both need to stay healthy if the Saints are even going to have a fighting chance. That being Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave. Rattler hit Juwan Johnson, It wasn't that spectacular, but it's simple. He got open like a 12-yard out route. You know, that's something that has to happen, I don't know, a handful of times a game where he's targeted and then you move in the chains and then he hit Chris Olave over the middle plus 15. So hopefully those two cats are getting opportunities and they're excelling, and Spencer Rattler was able to hit him. Now, remember I told you when you're in 7-7 and there's no pass rush, the ball got to come out on time. Scrambling? What are you scrambling for? Nobody's rushing. So, you know, but you start panicking as a quarterback if maybe the ball's not coming out on time, then you kind of run around and you start double clutching. Well, Shuck did that two or three times. So, and I did not see that in OTAs and minicamp. I don't know necessarily, just a bad day at the office. But the one thing, Shuck did throw a nice ball and went right through the hands, a tight end they're counting on maybe, because I think, Mike, you had mentioned this. If he does make the team, I think, first off, Jack Stahl, the 5-year veteran, you know, he's right around 250, 6'4". He came over from the Dolphins. Well, the ball went right through his hands. That was a drop pass. Nothing that Tyler Shuck can do about that. And then that was in the team drill. Then another team drill, I don't know, maybe change your cleats, grass. I don't know. He slipped and he sacked himself. So, I don't know. Stuff like that can happen, I guess. But it just wasn't, you know, like I said, a good day at the office. But you can see, Mike, a number of pass plays that were going to whether it's a receiver or running back, and I don't necessarily always count the checkdowns, but receiver or running back, like you might run a wheel route when that occurs, or the wide receivers, the quarterbacks are really utilizing the tight end. So that's what I'm saying. Juwan Johnson can't get hurt. Considering we're Foster Morrow and Taysom Hill and all this right now with the depth we have at tight end, Mike, he's even more valuable. And they reward him with a big-time contract. So I'm just looking at Juwan Johnson has to step up. Okay, here was a guy, not the Wyoming tight end you might think. Oh, he retired. Mike, what's up with that? I mean, I remember seeing him against Colorado, you know, and didn't they pay him $250,000?
He got a huge signing bonus.
Yeah, Hoker. And then all of a sudden, I don't think I'm going to play no more. Or, you know, they're going to cut him, then he decided to retire. But like I said, you can see him utilizing the tight end. Well, this guy, this Wyoming receiver, Mikey's 1 year, so he wasn't a rookie. He's not a rookie. 6'4", 240, out of Wyoming also. But I thought this was interesting. You know, like, whoa, where is this guy from? He's from Buffalo. Not Buffalo, New York. I didn't even know there was a Buffalo, Minnesota.
Yes.
He's from Buffalo, Minnesota. Did you know there was a Buffalo, Minnesota?
Yes, I did.
I never knew that until I read that. I go, Buffalo, Minnesota. I heard of Buffalo, New York. But, yeah, he was utilized in the passing game. Now, to me, the play of the day, nothing to write home with. It wasn't any bombs away or anything in that regard. But the guy I like, and it seems these type of players will always have a chance on every team, is basketball players trying to play football. You remember Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, and we all obviously remember Jimmy Graham, where Michael Jacobson. He's Iowa State.
And Nebraska.
And look, 6'7", 245. He made the play of the day down the middle. Hayner hit him in a great catch. He high-pointed the ball like he's going up for a rebound. And he still got up high enough that he still could have continued to run. So that was at least a plus 25-yard gain. So that was the play of the day that I saw, and that was Hayner to Michael Jacobson. Now, the only negative I saw was Spencer Rattler. Now, you can't have this because you'd hate to have that in a game. It could cost you. You know, when you're doing, whether it's snap under the center or you're in the shotgun, how many times should you fumble? Zero.
Nope.
So, Rattler one time, I know he took his eye off the ball, he fumbled the shotgun snap. I mean, all I know is the coach would always tell you, first off, first things first, we got to get the snap. That has to be elementary football 101, is that whether you're under the center or you're in the shotgun, that has to be automatic, or we have no chance. So that was really the only negative thing I saw, that one snap with Spencer Rattler. Now, you know I'm a fan of Mike, and I hope he works out. He's had a lot of adversity because I think he could play is Cam Akers. You know, who's going to be that guy, that veteran guy, or could be Kendre Miller? Because we're not worried about Alvin Kamara. We know what Alvin Kamara can do. But, Mike, Cam Akers, you're looking at all that adversity, now going into sixth season out of Florida State. Mike, they need to tear up. It's amazing. With both his Achilles, not one, but two?
Yes.
That's unbelievable that he still looks like he can hit it and get it. He caught, like I said earlier, from Hayner, like a nice pass play, looked like a pass receiving running back. But the one negative he did, which you cannot do.
Don't tell me he fumbled.
Yes. Oh. He fumbled, and you're not even tackling. So you can. So I'm thinking, like, wait, no pads, and they're not tackling you, and you can't fumble. And the defense, good for the defense, they got all fired up, because that'll be interesting to see how the defense comes across and forces fumbles throughout practice. You want them to be able to do it every now and then. Now, you don't want an offense to turn it over, but you want it to be conscious to protect the football. But defensively, yeah, we got to be ball hawking, whether we're stripping it out, punching it out, or getting interceptions. That's just something we have to do, but that was a negative with Cam Akers. I know that has to be like gold. You cannot lay that ball on the ground. And Mike, I hear the music when we come back from the break. We got to comment on Julian Blackman.
Yeah.
And that's another injured guy when you think about. But Mike, torn labrum, and look, he had that in week one. You know, he still played 16 to 17 games last year. And to me, ever since third round pick going to the Colts, he's been outstanding. Started 62 of 66 games. But, Mike, I think if he's healthy, that'll be your safety alongside Reed.
Yeah, I'll talk about Julian. Got to see him play. And actually, I watched three games of the Colts this morning going through his film work. And, man, his tackling, oh, goodness. That labrum, you could tell, was really bothering him. Also, I want to ask you about, because Greg Cosell asked me, he said, Mike, keep me abreast on, do you think that Kellen Moore will be much more of a over-the-middle kind of crossing pattern type coach, getting the ball over the middle more, and from what you're telling me, getting the ball to the tight end, and this is early. I mean, this is day one. That's something that Cosell must have picked up from somebody to think that he would ask me to keep in touch with him on that, because he said that is something Kellen Moore really likes to do. I'll get your answer right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, it's time for Bobby's Notebook Part 2, Cajun Cannon and his insights on today's training camp, and it's all brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Bob, we'll talk a little bit about Julian Blackman. I'll throw it to you first, and then I'll kick in afterwards. He's a veteran in this league who has started at both free and strong safety. Man, his injury list, it's like a MASH unit.
Well, Mike, yeah, you look at it, and but you know what I like? One thing that he's played hurt.
Yes, he has.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, not Kendre Miller. Oh, I didn't say his name. I guess I did. that who actually answers the bell, and are they going to play hurt? Because, Mike, that's something you can't measure. You know, you can do interviews and all that, but how can you measure a player's heart? You could talk to, you know, their old coaches and what they think about their work ethic or because I know in the old days, what I mean with old days, let's say 80s, 90s, whatever, before the turn of the century, you had to play hurt or they would just get rid of you. They didn't have enough invested in you. They have to be able to count on you, and you have to play hurt. Well, today, right now, because all the money involved, a lot of times these agents would tell the player, no, you banged up, that you can't really play. And so now you can't coach that has to come from within. Now, you don't want to be a liability to the team, a liability as far as a player, and you're not really helping the team. But you still have a difference between you got something broke or, I don't know, that's pretty serious. Mike, he's 26 years of age, but coming off a torn labrum that he dealt with last season, he suffered the injury in week one, but he still managed to play 16 to 17 games. So I guess the coaches, like you said, you could tell maybe he had that torn labrum with his tackling at times.
Oh,
but if the coaches could have put in somebody better, you don't think they would have did that?
I agree.
No, you know?
He tore his ACL in Utah. when okay. he was in college.
The Utah Utes?
Then he had an Achilles injury. He hurt the other knee, oh. and he played through it. Then he tore his labrum in the first game of the year last year. And, Bob, I've been watching him from games three. I watched 3, 6, 12, and the 16th game of the year. It was an adventure every time he had to open field tackle. Because
well, he's probably just trying to trip him, right?
He's trying to hold on to the guy, right. or he's hoping somebody else gets involved. But he showed some toughness to
right.
me. And that you played through that. And, man, when you have that torn labrum, man, that's a difficult injury if you've got to open field tackle someone. You can say, well, he's getting paid a lot of money. Okay, he is, but he's still hurt. And yet he fought through that, but every tackle in the open field was really an adventure when you watched him try to pull somebody down. And he would almost – it was almost like being like, you know, how they'd get catch the little calf and they try to steer him up. Well, that's what it looked like with him. He was trying to hold him up and hoping somebody else would come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, he's not trying to knock a snot bubble or
no.
nothing. Yeah,
but he's a really smart player, very intelligent guy. And again, his versatility that he has started at both free and strong safety for the Colts.
Well, Mike, I think if he's healthy and if you can recollect or recall, and that was the COVID year in 2020, he's picked in the third round.
Yes.
And spent the last five seasons with the Colts. But all I know is he started 62 of 66 games. Now, he missed significant time in the 21 season, like you said, with the torn Achilles. He had three, even with, think about that, even with his torn labrum, he had three of his 10 interceptions last season, you know, with that. So he still was making plays on the ball. I just think if he's healthy, he's starting alongside Reed. I think Jordan Howland, I think the game opportunity, that's not the answer. I don't think they want to throw Sanker to the Wolves. Now, who's the other safety? I'm trying to think. They have another veteran safety.
Terrell Burgess.
Yeah. Now, that would be, to me, more the open competition with Blackman would be Burgess, who would be playing alongside Reed. I don't know if you agree with that. But
yeah, I agree with that. And I think when you watch him play, he didn't come here to sign to be no bench warmer. He's coming here to be the starting safety opposite Justin Reed. Now, others may feel different. Oh, he's playing for the number two spot or three spot. Okay, I'm just telling you, they didn't sign him for $5 million a year or agreed to terms for $5 million for him to come to be a backup. He's coming in here to be the starting safety opposite Justin Reed. Again, I think he's a really good player. The big question mark for me is his health, and that's why it took him so long to sign. The Panthers had a lot of interest in him, brought him in for a visit. They had a long talk, and he left the building. And a lot of people in Carolina felt Dan Markin, and he pushed this hard, that, you know, things just didn't work out financially.
Right.
And so he decides, you know, he got a great spot here with Tyron retiring.
Well, and Mike, and he knows that, listen, once you play, and like I said, that's a lot of starts, 62 of 66 games. And once you start and you know you could play, you ain't backing down. And that's why he goes, I know what I'm worth. And you know, and how I should be rewarded, very similar. You look at Tyron Matthew, a very similar deal, you know, the $4 or $5 million range and how you're compensating them. But what I think is so important, that somebody has to step up alongside Reed, because I'm telling you, we have not had the safety play like we had. I know you can bring up the Minneapolis Miracle, but the consistency. When we had Marcus Williams and Malcolm Jenkins, the Saints had the top five duo safeties for sure in the league at that time. I'm talking about game in and game out.
No question about it.
You know, so you got to try and get – that's why you might want to throw a young guy out there, but – you know one thing, when you're in the back end and you're a young guy, if you get burnt, there ain't nobody else behind you.
That's true.
You know, you came here as a tackle because all of a sudden, oh, that should have been an 8-yard gain. I never forget this with Honey Badger, too. Remember Jamar Chase? Joe Burrow threw a simple, like maybe it was an out route. When he took that to the house for 60 yards, he missed a tackle. You know, that's, you know, on that back end, people don't realize you're the last defense. And that means they're getting past the wall. So You have to have high play, the safety position to have success. And then we got a bunch of youngsters, obviously, at cornerback. Well, Mike, we went from, like, considered, because of our experience last year, when they were ready to roll at times, as good as it gets, Marshawn Lattimore, who's now at the Commanders, and Paul Sotodivo at the Giants, think how young we are at cornerback right now.
Yeah.
And we're going like, it's all, I hope they work out. I mean, Kool-Aid, what's Kool-Aid going to do? I think you know who's going to play with a lot of confidence, Alante Taylor. I think Alante Taylor wants to be that leader in the room. And then, you know who needs to step up, Mike? I don't know, Riley. I know we just drafted him, but we need him to be like those young Eagles cornerbacks. Didn't the Eagles throw them to the wolves and they worked out?
Two yeah. rookies, and those two guys played like a 10-year veteran.
Yes, that's what we need. We need something like that all of a sudden. Whoa, we knew they would be all right. We didn't know they'd be that good, but that's what we need to happen to us, so.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottie along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And it's time for Bobby's Notebook Part 3 today. The Cajun Cannon's insights into the first day of training camp. And it's all brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years. And we're just getting started. Bob, we talked a little bit about the tight end inclusion. And I think you've given a big contract to Juwan Johnson. He's been on the all-potential team, at times has flashed it, but he's never been really consistent as that receiver, and other guys trying to vie for jobs. Yeah. But if there's an opening there on this team, man, it's at the tight end spot with Foster Moreau still on the PUP list.
Well, I'm going to give you a hot take. Juwan Johnson and Kellen Moore's offense, because I think he will get the targets. Now, you got to stay healthy. Obviously, you got to play. My hot take, Juwan Johnson is going to be a Pro Bowl player. Oh, Bobby, you said you told me to take him in fantasy a couple of years ago. How did that work out? I don't know. Again, I think he's going to grow upon, and the Saints think that he's going to continue to grow. Mike, you know, they wouldn't have given him a $30 million deal over 3 years. So right now he got a three-year, $30 million deal. The contract, that's the 12th highest paid tight end. I think that's pretty good because they know the potential is there. Now, if you look last year, he had career highs. So he had receptions 50. I think that can go to 80. Yards receiving, 548 yards last season. I think he can hover for sure over 800, if not close to 1,000. And but his whole career, it's like either feast or famine. Boy, he's played unbelievable for a month, and then he disappears. How about if he could play? You know, he needs to mature as a player and to be counted upon. How about you do that for 3 or 4 months instead of flash in the pan? But that's why he got the big deal, because they know he has the ability and has flash. So I'm just going to – because Mike, I guess I'm just wishing, because he needs to. Because you're hoping for speedy recoveries for Foster Moreau and Taysom Hill and all the other parts of the tight end room still. Hoker retired. What's his name? Mataveo, whatever, from
Malachi Mataveo from UCLA.
But he's more like, I think, an edge guy to block. Then you got Seth Green, and I'm just telling you, I think Juwan Johnson, to help the young quarterbacks, he has to have a big year. And nothing against Rashid Shaheed or Chris Olave and all that. I just think he has to have a big year. Now, Mike, when you think about it, though, okay, how did Kellen Moore utilize tight ends? I don't know, that play beat us because we all ran into each other.
Yeah.
When you look at Goddard, I mean, all of a sudden, what? How did we lose this game? And the Eagles end up being the world champs. But you look at the new style of the offense, and like Kellen Moore, and I think he knows Juwan Johnson's ability. You know, when you look at him, Mike, I didn't realize this. To show you how much he's been, when you look at average, like, he's really a vertical receiving threat throughout his career. When he's really, you know, the balls that he's caught, you know, now I'm going to use this for comparison. He's averaged at least 8.3 air yards per target in all but one of his five NFL seasons. So that's a lot of consistency there. You know, at 8.3 air yards, like only slightly behind, I think you know these names, Jamar Chase. You know what Jamar Chase is? 8.9. Devontae Adams, 8.6. And he's ahead of players such as Amon St. Brown, you know, with the Lions. He's at 8 yards. And then CeeDee Lamb, you know, the Cowgirls, he's at 8 yards. So I'm telling you, Juwan Johnson has the ability. He's even ahead of those receivers. Now, okay, when you consider Kellen Moore in the history of how you utilize Eagles tight ends, they average better than 6.9 air yards per target, which is, you know, say right at 7 yards. And like I said, here you got Juwan Johnson, 8.3. So what type of routes is he going to run? I can see that coming down because they just want to get his hands on the ball. I mean, like, for instance, you look at tight end Dalton Schultz, topped out at 7.3 air yards per target in his final three seasons with Moore when he called plays in Dallas. So I'm telling you, Kellen Moore wants to use the tight end, and I look at Goddard and I don't know how you pronounce it, Cal Katera, the other tight end with the Eagles. The bottom line is that if you tied in the Saints offense and, you know, Foster Moreau, I mean, what can we expect? Him or Taysom? If they come back in the middle of the season around Thanksgiving, I'm going to be ecstatic. They had serious injuries. And for them, they go, I want to be ready at the start of the season, Foster Moreau. I think that's too much pie in the sky. Nothing against him. And then Taysom, that was a gruesome injury. And I'm telling you, we need Juwan Johnson more than anything to stay healthy. And I know Kellen Moore will want to utilize him, and I can see the young quarterbacks almost like when you dump it off to the back, just as much, if not more, than like Chris Olave or like Rashid Shaheed or any of the receiving core.
Bob, I was going to ask you, as a former quarterback, your tight end and that little dump-off pass to the back, that's the quarterback's best friend. Okay, because it's a short throw, and you hope he can break a tackle.
And you're not getting
sacked.
And then
he's got an open field. Yes, exactly.
Well, that's what Caleb Williams needs to learn to do with the Bears. I mean, Caleb Williams, as much as he can run around, he was the most sacked quarterback by far. Wasn't even close. He's like double digits sacked more than anybody else. Because you can't freelance. Now, it's good that you have running abilities like Lamar Jackson, and you could do all that. But that ball got to come out. Why was Tom Brady so efficient, or the Drew Brees of the world? Because the ball's coming out. You know where to go with the ball. Like, get that clock in here, 1,001, 1,002. Where are you going with the football? And if you got a talented back like Alvin Kamara, remember Drew Brees, how he was like, he had Reggie Bush, then how he said, we need to get Darren Sproles over here. How did that work out? And, you know, we call that a rabbit, which is an option route, whether it's zone or man coverage. And you're counting on the yards after the catch that whoever's covering them, they can't be right. You know when you're winning, when you have a game plan offensively, is when it's a passing down and they double-teaming the running back out the backfield. You know, like they're bracketing them. Maybe one's coming to catch him and hold him or jam at the line and somebody's going to follow, or whether he's going in or out, one's waiting inside, one's waiting outside, then you hook up in the zone. But man-to-man coverage, I mean, like a Dalton Hilliard. You look at Alvin Kamara. They're going to win in space, and then they're going to get that yak. Like, okay, it's nothing to write home about, but let's say it's 3rd and 7, and the rush is they whipping out line, but you get the ball out and you hit Alvin. Hit him in stride. Now, you can't throw it behind him or in the ground and all that. You got to hit him accurate, and Drew was unbelievable at that. And then all of a sudden, you threw it 5 yards, but he gained 3. Now it's 1st down. It was 3rd and 7, so 8-yard gain. Those simple things, that's how you can help your offensive line to play better, and you give them confidence. And you want them to get their continuity like they're used to playing together, and they could build upon that. And the tight end's the same thing. Now listen, I play with Hobie Brenner and John Tice. We do a 2 tight end set. I utilize the tight ends all the time. Hit them in the seam. I mean, Hobie Brenner on a good day could run a 4.8. But you know what? He ain't getting no yak, but he catch everything that came around, and he can run block. See, that's why whoever makes the team, like the other tight ends, Mike, and whoever you might think, that edge guy, that inline guy, or traditional tight end position, who could Kellen Moore to trust to run block and set that edge? You know what I mean? To give Alvin a chance. Not like, you got a glorified pass-receiving tight end. Yeah, that's good, Juwan Johnson. But who's that other tight end that they could count on, whether it be Jack Stoll or whether it's Seth Green or whoever it might be. Who do you think, Mike? Because Foster Morrow is not going to be available.
I think it's Jack Stoll.
Yeah, but Foster Morrow could be the guy, but he's not going to be available. So that's what I'm going to look at, too. When they're running the ball, let's say they're trying to get the edge point of attack. Watch during the preseason when Jack Stoll's blocking. Is he winning or losing? If he's winning, he's going to make this team. And that's how you make the team. When they got to go to the Chargers, whatever, see what he's doing when he's in the game. Now, if he's getting his butt whooped, no, they're going to get rid of him.
We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. When we come back, I'll get the Cannon's take on the running back depth that the Saints have. And, you know, if something goes down or you got to use a second back, who would that guy be? I know people want to know about offensive line, defensive line play. Can't really talk about that till next week when they're getting pads. We'll have a lot more sports talk here and Saints talk right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.